Well, I have to confess that when I'm taxed for a message, like one day, I have to go back and say, is there anything I can beef up or revise? Or this was preached in this room 21 years ago. Not quite the same message, but it was there. And the title of it is, Where Did Time Go? Where did time go? It's a question, and it's a good question. It's a question to help us to ponder and think and contemplate as we anticipate a new year. It stimulates us to reflect on life. Where did time go? Listen to this. This is sort of cute. When, as a babe, I slept, time crept. When, as a lad, I talked, time walked. When I became a man, time ran. As older I grew, time flew. Soon we'll be passing on. Time gone. Our perceptions of time are related to age. We think in that way. We relate them to age, but they're related to some other things too. To mental states, our mental states, we can be bored or we can be busy with time, you know? We can be bored with time or busy with time. Or states of activity, we can be actually relaxed. We can be relaxed with time or rushed with time, right, you know? So states of activity. And then emotional states. We can have happy times or we can have sad times. And time is also related to movement. Time is related to movement. That's how we measure time, actually. And so it's in a lot of our common expressions, like time slips away, okay, or time flies, time is running out, or time stands still. It's all related to movement. And then I went through one of these in the hospital, time motion studies. You know, they do time motion studies in order to see if they can cut down on time and save time in different places. Where did time go? You know, that's more of a lament sometimes than it is a question. It's like, where did it go? You know, it's a lamentation in a sense. There are better questions that can lead to better answers and support a better principle. And this is the principle I want to get across today. The best use of time is trusting the time maker. The best use of time is trusting the timekeeper. God is the timekeeper. And to start with, let's ask this question. Where did time come from? But first, a better question, or a question that a lot of philosophers ask, is time real? Is it just a perception? Or is it real? Is time real? Well, when I was a teenager, I won a set of the great books of the Western world. How many know what the great books of the Western world are? Encyclopedia Britannica put them out. They're really a lot of big books. 52 volumes. It's amazing. And I loved that set of books. But I won it by asking a question to the editor of that book, Mortimer J. Adler. You ever heard of him? Mortimer J. Adler wrote the book, How to Read a Book. And he was a great philosopher. And he was an educator at the University of Chicago. And that's where they put these books together, the great books of the Western world. Anyway, I wrote this. Dear Dr. Adler, the average man goes through his life using the notion called time, but he never gives much consideration to its definition. What do some of the great philosophers say about the phenomenon of time? I was a 17-year-old, but I had some help from my teacher in writing this question. Anyway, I said, well, Mr. David Hatton, Hayward, California, by the way. Hayward. That's where I grew up. And then on New Year's Eve, 1967, that gives away my age, his reply, Mortimer J. Adler's reply, was published nationwide, okay? It was a column. That was what do they call it? A column or a sub... What's the name of that thing where they syndicated? It's a syndicated column. It goes to all the newspapers. Well, anyway, he summarized Augustine. Here's what he wrote. Augustine had some things like this, and he summarized what Augustine had said. All past time no longer exists. It has been, but it is no longer. And all future time, by definition, does not yet exist. It will be, but it is not yet. The only time that exists then is the present. But as soon as we concentrate on the present, it too escapes us. In fact, Augustine said it's like putting two bricks together. Future, past, put them together. Is there any space between them? Well, that's the present. Does it really exist, or is there any space to it? If it can be divided, then it's past or future. But if it comes together and it's like without no dimension, then it's the present. But does that have existence? Well, Newton argued for the real existence of past, present, and future time. And later, Einstein proved it. He proved it when he used the speed of light in his famous equation, his energy equation, E equals mc2 squared. You know, that's a very simple, simple equation. And yet, it's what the equation is behind the atom bomb and atom reactors. It's amazing how he came up with it, and it was in his theory of relativity. Well, that's a lot of stuff. It's Einstein and all that, but MC2, one of those things in there is the speed of light. It's the speed of light is in that equation, and it's about, the speed of light is about time. So, the Bible agrees with Newton and with Einstein. In Genesis 1:14-15, it says, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky. This is before anything else was created. Light was first, because time had to be first. And let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth, and it was so. Time is related to light and to movement. You cannot have time without light, because light is what we see, you know, helps us to see the movement. And so movement and light are both created things. God created them, and they're both parts related to time. So God created time, and time is real, and it's moving. So we measure it by measuring or comparing our movements in life, our moving around in this world, our movements in life, with the movements of heavenly bodies. Now, Earth is not the basic time standard. We think it might be, but it's not. We have to look for days. We have to look to the sun. If we're thinking about days, we look really to the sun, and the earth revolves, and then it's like, okay, it's a new day because the sun's there again, you know? Well, for months, what do? Well, we look up at the moon. You know, that helps us with months. For years, we have to engage the stars. We have to look at the stars and see where we are in the revolution around the sun. We look at the stars for that. And then we ask this question, where did time go? Where did time go? Our thoughts that question stimulates make us look upward. Make us look upward to the heavens. Where did time go? Because that's what we measured all these times. We compared our life on earth to the movements around the earth. Or the earth turning and our turning and seeing all these things and all these rotations that are going on, that helps us to understand time. And so we are looking to the heavens And we should be looking to the heavenly timekeeper, because our best use of time is trusting the timekeeper. There's another essential question. Why did God create time? Why did God create time? Well, time is a teacher. Time is a teacher, and we were meant to listen to time as a teacher. Here's what Psalm 90 says in verses 9 through 12. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? And your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Teach us then to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So time tells us to live wisely and with godly fear, in the reverential fear of God. But we can treat that instruction, we can treat time's instruction foolishly by ignoring it. Time isn't that important. It doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter. I had a good friend who, by not watching her time, she was late to work too many times, and she lost a great job because she was late to work too many times. The union couldn't, it was marked down. Her time was showing that she was not responsible with time. Or time's instruction can be foolishly presumed upon by presumption, where time is mine to do with as I please. Well, there's a good answer to that in Scripture. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, a very familiar passage, probably the one that highlights this whole message. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. And we can say, foolishness. Yeah, that's foolishness. So God uses time to teach us, but He also uses time as a platform, in a sense, for us to make the right choices. To listen to time's instruction, to live wisely, to have the fear of God, and to be concerned, not to be squandering our time or thinking we own it. We don't. It's been given to us, and it's a place for us to choose right choices. When we make the wrong ones, the logic of human thinking says, too bad, what's done is done. Now that is fatalism. That's the idea that, okay, you can't change, nothing can change. I mean, this is really illustrated well in the Islamic fatalistic poem by Omar Khayyam, the Rubaiyat. Listen to this. The moving finger writes, and having writ, moves on. Nor all your piety nor wit shall lure it back to sever half a line. Nor all your tears wash out a word of it. What's done is done. You know, fatalism is countered. It's resisted. It's blown apart by God's grace that's in the Christian gospel. Here's what God does. He offers forgiveness for past sins. Sins that are way back there. He offers forgiveness for past sins and healing for past sins. What's done is done makes us want to go back. Oh, I wish I could go back and undo some things. But the cross does something better. It reaches back and undoes us from the past. That's pretty good. You know, salvages us out of the past, out of our what's done is done. And it allows us to lift our eyes back up from the sad lamentation of where did time go, you know. We can have our heads down and, you know, where did time go and be lamenting. It helps us to lift our eyes up to a healthier perspective, a heavenly perspective. And that's the one that comes in the answer to this next question. Where is time taking us? Where is time taking us? Now, scientifically and relatively speaking, not very far yet. Not very far. We're really just going in circles. Did you know that? Every day we go in circles. I mean, the Earth, it spins in a global circle on a daily basis. And then we circle around the sun on a yearly basis. And we revolve in a galactic spiral, and it takes 230 million years to make one circuit. Well, we're barely moving then in comparison to that, right? You think about our closest galaxy is so far away, it's just a little patch in the sky. Even the distances we do in circling the Earth, in circling the sun, and in our galaxy spinning around, even all those great distances are nothing compared to the distance to the closest, our neighbor galaxy, Andromeda. I know this is all scientific stuff, but, you know, it makes us think about how long our lives is. Do we really live that long? This was amazing to me. This was back in the 90s when I read about this, the Hubble Space Telescope, and I saw this picture. They took shots of through a little spot. If you held a dime 75 feet away from you, if you held a dime 75 feet away from you, that's how small the spot was that they shot into to take pictures. And you know what they found in those pictures? 1,500 galaxies. Unimaginable. And some of these galaxies were 10 billion light years away from this planet. Whoa, what a distance. Well, you know, when we think about that, you know, that's astronomically big, right? Astronomically gigantic. Now think about this. My voice reaches the person at the back of here. My voice reaches you in, what is it? 2/100ths. That's what it is. 2/100ths of a second. That's how fast my voice. Now, Paul's voice reaches us through reading his thing after 2,000 years. But you know, that's if you take those two times. If you take those two times and you put them together, they look about the same. They look nearly identical if you compare them to that distance to the farthest galaxy. It's like no time. I've often told people life is so short. And it's like from a heavenly perspective, we'll look down and we say, oh, 9 minutes. That baby lived 9 minutes. Oh, that baby lived 9 months. Oh, that child lived 9 years. That man lived 90 years. But they all look the same from this perspective. No time at all. Hardly any time. When we've been there 10,000 years, we're going to have that kind of perspective. Our legacy of time is not length of age or distance traveled or events that we've experienced, but it's our divine opportunity to make the right choices. If we just go with the flow of time, we'll go in circles, you know? We must make each new day a step forward, closer to God in our walk with Him. And if we let time rob us, we can let time rob us. If we let time rob us of remembering that we have eternal souls, if we let time rob us from that, we can miss, during this lifetime, our enjoyment of communion with an eternal God. And that's what God wants for us, that communion. Our hope is in the timekeeper who visited us in this earthly time. He knows what it's like, 33 years. He knows how they can go by real quickly. He knows how fast time goes. But he also knows that what can be accomplished in a short amount of time like that, it's worth the investment. It's much worth so much, that investment of time, no matter how small it is. And he knows this. He knows how to lead us at the right pace to the right place. Yeah, little poem there. He does. And pace is important for us as humans. And the place, we want to go to the right place. He won't go too fast that we can't follow him. He's going to stay right beside us. And he's taking us to a place where he's taken his time to prepare. That's wonderful. It's not, he's taken some good time to prepare a place for us. When as a babe I slept, time crept. When as a lad I talked, time walked. When I became a man, time ran. And as older I grew, time flew. Soon I'll be passing on, time gone. But 100 years from now, I'm talking about us, every one of us in this room, 100 years from now. Now, maybe a few of us, well, you know, you might still, we have 102 right here, so who you know is you might make it to 100, 110, whatever, 120. But 100 years from now, we are not going to be asking that question, where did time go? We're not going to be asking that question. Time will not matter anymore. What will matter is how we use time, how we use this new year that's ahead of us. And as we think about that, let's not pity ourselves for what happened in the past, how we maybe wasted the past or wasted our time. Let's use the time we have left on earth to trust the timekeeper and the time maker for our plans, for our projects, for our spiritual progress within each and every day of this new year, all year long. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this little contemplation. It's helped me to recontemplate what I preached on 21 years ago. Because it's so important. Time has flown since that time. I pray, Father God, that we will take every day and make it important by realizing we have choices to make, and you, by your Holy Spirit, are guiding us to the right choices, that we will not use time foolishly, but wisely, listening to time's instruction to live in the fear of God and in the love of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.